It's been pointed out by numerous ancestors in numerous ways. We are taught to be obedient, and that obedience destroys authenticity and leads ultimately to abuse, the mistreatment of some, if not to hardcore totalitarianism, and that the whole is based on hierarchy, which is justified by the myth of scarcity, which we all now recognize as a lie, and yet aren't discussing society redesign, as the current one is based falsely, and nothing worth keeping comes from duplicity. So Bentham, and in this he speaks for power, for whom this ultimate end has never dimmed, wants to design people who easily fit into his desired social arrangement, and power continues to refine the art of realizing this vision. What do we think of this? Should we be designed, or should we be big, i.e. express our earth-given gifts? And what I never hear discussed is the degree to which power lusts consciously. All I hear discussed are the effects of power's efforts to craft a social arrangement based in rigid, fixed divisions. So we'll hear all the horrific tales of castration or sterilization of we undesirables, but removed from any context, without which only disempowerment is fed, as there's no clue how this continuous disrespect of targeted groups will end beyond the bogus more education, as if power doesn't fully know the consequences of what it intends. We see this systematic crafting everywhere. Those privileged by power get big parks, big trees, a big sense of peace and well-being. I understand my father better now, how once he became a teacher, he chose a house in the most comfortable seeming neighborhood he could see his way to be in, which meant we children had a vast expanse of park to play in compared to that admitted my low-income neighborhood today. And by the way, when we blacks moved in, the composition of Detroit changed dramatically. I hear it's changing back again. My father saw and resented the systematic imposition of differential advantages. In Revealing Division, I wrote that class is so deeply present and equated in our minds with society itself that it seems like the air we breathe. This is expressed most insidiously in our assumption of wage work itself. The fact that it's inherently abusive does not seem to occur to us. Class means wage work. Ending one ends both. This week, I heard about a child from Sri Lanka working as a nanny in Saudi Arabia who was beheaded 10 days after she arrived because a baby died in her care. And this week, a Van Nuys, California woman asleep on a bench was set on fire because she was homeless. And a 5-year-old in Meridian, Mississippi was taken by police to her home from school for not having black shoes. Such are the daily atrocities of rank, the crimes of status we accept without complaint. This is class, this is rank. By status and wage, we are slotted. Slotted into mines, into fields, into boardrooms, universities, and labs. This is wage work. This is class. If you have money, a privileged set of social categories, you can dispose of the lives of others. We put up with this because we cannot think, while hierarchy keeps us jumping, focused narrowly on just surviving. But immersed in the game, unconsciously, we must believe that what is done in those boardrooms and universities is worth all the suffering of the vast majority. We must believe this without thinking. I think it's time to decide consciously if we're ready to make the world we need to grow whole souls, whole human beings. Bentham wrote that if individuals refused to fashion their behavior to conform to happiness as defined by those who rule, they should be made to by means of either pleasure or pain. The sheepdogs get the pleasure, reward, acknowledgement, and Bentham defined pleasure as immunity from pain, while the cattle get the pain, invisibility, prison. But power can only do this if we contribute our complicity. Could it be any clearer that power is trying to weed out those it considers unfit and keep us subservient? Whether or not you believe that power has been consciously shaping us by shaping all that touches us, primarily through wage work, the wage work system, as the family is skewed to make workers, not thoughtful, self-determined people, the job deepens our obedience, and media teaches us we cannot regain control of our lives, that we must be content to trail like shadows behind power. Whether you think this is by conscious plan or happenstance, or that we agreed because our following orders makes the world more orderly and we could not see a better way, now we can. That's the point. Now we can see a better way. We just don't know how to act on that new sight. We don't know how to begin broadly, quickly enough to make the discussions happen in a single generation. But we are now butting up against the reality that this current way of things has led to being wildly out of balance, and this cannot lead to happiness in any authentic sense, i.e. joyfulness and reverence. Recall, Bentham believed if we are not happy, we must be made to be. And Bentham is not thought buried and done, but thought taught to successive generations. And he said that, quote, government, this is a quote from Bentham, government operates principally through the medium of education, the magistrate operating in the character of a tutor upon all the members of the state by the direction he gives to their hopes and to their fears. Indeed, under a solicitous and attentive government, the ordinary preceptor, teacher, nay, even the parent himself is but a deputy, as it were, to the magistrate, whose controlling influence dwells within a man to his life's end. Unquote. We've been designed to accept this. These are the lives we live, but it's time to move on.